Well, good evening. Good evening. Let's find a hymnal. Turn over to number 66. 66 at Calvary. Let's all stand together this evening. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me He died. Calvary, mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I heard. Then I salvation's plan, and all the grace that brought it down to man, all the mighty thought that God did span, Calvary, mercy there was great, grace was free, time tonight, thankful to be gathered together in your house, Lord. I pray that you'd bless, Lord, bless in our time of prayer, in our time of preaching in your word and study and singing and all the things that are done here tonight. Lord, pray that you'd have your will and way, and we'll thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. We're glad to have Kara back with us. She's moved back into the state. So, never to be set free again. And so she's here. Usually she's here for a moment. She hasn't really lived with us permanently since we lived in Sri Lanka. Yeah, she's been going to college or going off to ministry in other parts of the world or college again, you know. But now we've clipped her wings, and so glad to have her here with us. Amen.
Amen. Come in, bro. We'll put her to work. Amen. Good evening, everyone. So if you have this handout, a couple of things I want to draw your attention to on this one. The missionaries of the week, we also added our two missionaries, the Fergusons and the Myers there. And then missionary of the week, we're praying for the Ree family in the UK. And again, we have all the missionaries there, but I challenged you last week to try to find someone different than Brother John talks about and just look through some older things and continue to pray with just specific things, not just general, hey, we want all our missionaries to do well, but just try to find an old pamphlet that you had and just bring that to the Lord, because we've seen so many answered prayers of just little things we've asked for, and that's what Wednesday night prayer meetings are all about, is seeing our prayers answered in God's timing. Some of it may like right instantly when we pray, but we've certainly seen so many things answered in prayer. And then also in the bulletin, if you have your bulletin kept from Sunday, different things in here that we need to continue to pray for. Tomorrow we have the closing of the school event, I guess we could call it. So certainly show your support. Certainly we've put a lot into having this school. The Lord's blessed that. I mean, that whole endeavor to start was amazing, how God's hand was in that so many times, so many things that needed to be accomplished. And then the Lord just came through, answered prayer. We're finishing our first year. Looking forward to our second year. More kids getting registered. It's looking good for next year. They're going to wear you out. But she loves it. She's happy. So certainly just continue to pray for the school, that everything continues to go well. The kids in the back need all our prayers. Upcoming junior camp and junior teen camp and junior, so keep that in prayer. And with that said, I would just ask, someone has to have a praise. Two hands at the same time. Very good. Amen. So that was a praise for Miss Jill getting a diagnosis of being cancer-free. So that's an answer to prayer and a praise on top of that. Miss Cheryl. And it's prayers that we all put in for him. And I've seen the change in him. When I used to do the class in the back, it's just amazing the growth that all of the kids who are involved, and we try to put our hearts into making their lives much better. Someone else. Someone on this side. We got that side. Someone on this side. Praise. Tonight. So more in the back, and I'll praise for this side. It's good to have you home. So that the Lord gives you, are you looking for work or anything like that we need to pray for? Anything specific or? Something to get you through. Amen. So, and amen. See? Praise. And I'm going to bring up, Eddie had some issues, went to the hospital, had some things, to just keep him in prayer for his health. Miss Judy and Kevin are they're home, not feeling well. I think Kevin got something from traveling and brought it back home. And Mary had something like a dry eye that kind of stuck. So she's on medication for her eye, hard for her to see, so just continue to pray for them. So a lot of us need prayer and health, that's for sure, but the Lord's blessing. So with that, if we don't have anything to request, anybody have a prayer request? We did praises, prayer request.
I do want to praise the Lord. This week. But anyway, that's a blessing. I've been dealing with that for 20 years.
Wow.
Yeah, so as you get older, it gets worse.
but it's getting better. So that's an answer to prayer.
I mean, it's not fixed, but at least it's
right. So we're going to continue to pray that you stay pain-free.
Amen.
Because we need you here. Anyone else?
I have two.
Okay.
Those of you who know Greg Gretchen, our neighbor who came to visit, number one, they need to be safe, but I don't know that. But the second part is they're traveling for the next month and a half. They just have a lot of road problems, so I'd let them know that our church would pray for them, just trying to be a testimony to them. And you don't know when God's going to do a work in
right.
Your heart.
Amen.
Just pray for Gary and Gretchen on their trip, if you would. Second, we had a lady visit with Miss Liz on Sunday.
Right.
Barbara. She's supposed to come back this Sunday, but she lost her husband a month ago unexpectedly. She shared with the group back in Sunday school. She shared with the lady. But if y'all could just let's pray for Barbara. She needs a place to be.
Bring her here.
That
we're delighted to bring her here.
Yes. And Miss Liz was just thrilled to have someone that she has witnessed to and talked to for
right. So that's continually pray for the Lord to continually bring people in. We're slowly growing, but we're growing, and that's all that matters. It's like we're reaching the right ones, and the Lord's going to bring who He wants here. And hopefully He keeps away those that don't need to be here. But we all want them. But in another way, we don't need problems. We need blessings. Amen. So with that, let's take some time, group up, go to the Lord in prayer. Amen. I want to take. Pow.
Thank you.
to gather together in prayer and, Lord, meeting the needs one of another and bringing our requests to you. Lord, I pray that you would bless now our time as we go into your word. And we'll thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn your Bibles this evening to the book of Proverbs. And we are going to put the service in order. Amen. Amen. I appreciate a church that I mentioned something and it comes. I said, I need a gavel for the business meeting we had. And so Miss Judy sends me a gavel. So we have it next business meeting is we're going to have some extra points of business. Just so that I can, anyway, it's all a fun. I know of some churches where, you know, a preacher says something and all of a sudden it all starts showing up on his pulpit and all kinds of things. And so I just don't start putting $100 bills right now. Just kidding. Hey, where am I at? Proverbs chapter 2. Anyway. Oh, man, it's good. You know, I'm glad that we have a church that we're glad to come to. Amen. Amen. I've been part of churches that every time you come, you're a little bit apprehensive. Oh, you ready? I used to tell my wife, do I have to go? And she said, yeah, you're the pastor. You have to go. And I'm kidding. I'm really being facetious, but you know, I'm glad we have that kind of folks. And so we look at our service out here. We're like, wow, we have, I don't know, 19, 20 people here. Everything. Where's everybody at? Well, the other half is in the back. On Wednesday night, we'll have more than we have on Sunday morning. I don't know what's. Amen. You know, listen. I want to say this. Our goal here isn't to fill the seats. It's not to fill the seats. It's not. Katie's looking at it. She's trying to process that. Our goal is not to fill the seats. Our goal is to fill the heart. And so God said if we will come and we'll receive something, what it'll do, it'll change us into His image. And then we will be a living testimony. Right? And so what ends up happening when we're a living testimony, we go and reach people in our circle of influence, people we work with, family, friends. And you know what? When our hearts get filled, then we want to be here. Right? Well, then we'll want to be here. And so, you know who I'm most worried about filling these seats is our church. Right? But it's amazing. I find this, it's amazing that what God does is people that we didn't invite show up. You know, Jesse and Miss Charlotte back here, they just showed up here. And then they keep coming. And we're thankful. Amen. We are thrilled. God sends people. Sometimes we go and reach people. And other times God sends people. And so I'm almost, now listen, don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. I want you to bring people. Amen. I want you to bring your people. People God puts in your way, somebody you find somebody, I want to invite them. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying, but it thrills me when God just sends somebody. And I was, how did you find our church? I'll say we had Adam's been coming. Adam come Sunday night, and he's come a couple times here. And I said, how did you find our church? I mean, we're not on main roads. And he said, because he's working out at the Cape, and he said, I've just come. He's moved here in the area. And I said, how did you find our church? And he said, well, you have evening service. Okay. You know, and God will just send people to us. And listen, whether they come and stay or whether we just get a small opportunity to try to live out Christ with them and for them and through them and with, you know, that's not our burden. That's the Lord's, but what our burden is to be what God wants me to be. And so I'm thrilled when God would let us be a part of what He's doing. So Proverbs chapter 2 tonight, Proverbs chapter 2, let's begin in verse 7. The Bible says, He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the path of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. Okay, we're going to get in here tonight. We're going to, as we continue with this, the voice of wisdom. We've talked about wisdom, but now we've been talking about the voice of wisdom. And chapters 1 and 2 really talk about it. Gets for a little while in the book of Proverbs, it's going to talk about the voice of wisdom. Wisdom that calls out to us. And so in chapter 1, we found wisdom called and many refused, right? We talked about that. And then in chapter 2, we saw what it looked like to receive and pursue wisdom. We talked about that last week. Now we're going to see what God does in the life of the one who walks in wisdom. And so tonight the lesson really is this, is the protection of wisdom. The protection of wisdom. So this passage is not really explaining how to get wisdom. We already did that, okay? So we're not going to deal with it so much about how to get wisdom, though probably I will venture into that, right? But it's not about how to get wisdom. It's really this, is what wisdom produces in the life that responds to it, okay? Wisdom produces something in that life. And so, number one, wisdom places your life under the protection of God, right? Under the protection of God. Again, he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. But like Texas, like a Texas rodeo. Oh, no, that's a buckle. That's a buckle, not a buckler. A buckler, I was thinking about bringing one, but I don't have one, it's a shield. But a buckler is a specific kind of shield. It's not a typical shield that we would think about in battle. You think about Goliath's shield. Remember that? He had a fella carried it for him. It's like man-sized shield he held. It's particularly a shield that's held in the hand. And it's about the size of a dinner plate. It's about this big around. And when you think about this buckler, it's really something that you would hold. And it's not like something you put, like here, when you think about a shield, a lot of times you see them, they're here, like the old, some of these old movies and that, they've got these, and they're fighting a dragon or something, they got the shield, and the fire hits it, and this kind of thing. It's kind of a big thing, it's held this. The buckler is a little different. It's not really meant to absorb punishment. You know, these bigger shields, you come with the sword and you smash on it, right? And you could, right? You kind of get that. At least that's the way they show it in the cartoons. I don't know. But, you know, they got this. The buckler isn't like that. It doesn't absorb punishment. It deflects it. See, the buckler, when it comes, it deflects it off to the side, right? So when that sword or that arrow, it doesn't stick into it. It's deflected away is kind of the vision there. And it's used to actively participate in defense. It's not stationary while I'm doing all this over here. No, it's sometimes actually, and I looked at some pictures of this, and so images and so forth. Actually, sometimes it's on the same hand as the sword. And so while it's actively defending, it's not like a receiving defense, it's an active defense, right? Like that. Okay, so you got the idea of a buckler. So the reason I explain these things is the same reason why God put it in here, because it means something. Okay? So, A, the one who walks in wisdom is brought under the personal protection of God. How awesome does that sound? I mean, the personal protection of God. Right? Number one, the text here declares that the Lord Himself is a shield to those who walk uprightly. Let me read that again. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. God says, I am your buckler. I am that active shield to deflect trouble from you. When it's coming, God says, I'm not there to just kind of so you can endure it. He said, God said, I'm there to deflect it from you. See that? See why the imagery? Sometimes some of these words are lost in English, and that's why we have to look them up. Right? I mean, you know, they use some of these. We understand. We don't really understand. Sometimes what we tend to do is we just skip through it because, like, that means something. You can take a little bit of in context and realize it means protection. But the more we get into it, we say, God gives us pictures. He paints pictures that make sense more than just, oh, he's our shield. It's more than that. See, and that's the kind of, hey, walking uprightly is the result of continually responding to the voice of wisdom. Okay, listen, wisdom calls to you, right? Wisdom's calling you, and as wisdom calls you, you have a choice, don't you? Really, two things. It's two choices. We reject or respond. Well, I just don't do anything. That's called reject. Right? Well, I didn't reject it. I just didn't do anything with it. Well, if I tell you to do something, if I tell my kids, do this, and they say, I'm going to think about it. Well, that's saying I'm not going to do it. And then there's something else comes behind that. No. That's when the sword comes. No. Or the rod. Anyway, so but what I'm saying here is when we continually respond to the voice of wisdom, we're going to find ourselves continually walking. We're going to be walking uprightly is what he's talking about here. By the way, you don't walk uprightly by one time responding to wisdom. Well, once upon a time, I used to did things for Jesus, right? There's a lot of used to did Christians. I used to did. What I used to did back here, well, what are you doing now? Well, not so much now, but I used to did it, right? And so so what you might as well say, I used to respond to wisdom. But now I stopped responding, so now I'm rejecting. And so we kind of get this idea. So this idea of walking uprightly is somebody that's continually responding to wisdom. Number two, this protection that God is talking about is not merely something God gives, but something God himself is to the one who walks uprightly. This is amazing when you think about it. God doesn't give us protection. He is our protection. God doesn't say, I'm gonna set an angel to protect you. No. Well, I thought, stop thinking. No, I'm kidding. Stop thinking on our own. Look here. God doesn't send somebody. He said, I'm going to be it. I is it. That's awesome. I love that. Man, I love that. It's almost overwhelming. God himself is like, well, doesn't God use angels? Probably, yes. Okay, don't try to extrapolate that theology too much. You're like, Pastor, do you mean... Stop. Okay, what we're saying is this is God that's doing this, right? Angels don't move on their own, right? They follow instructions. So God is our guard. He's our deflector. He's our buckler. B, the protection of God is exclusively... You got that word? Exclusively. Exclusively. Exclusively connected to the path of righteousness. I want y'all to get this part. A lot of people miss this. I talk to so many people through my years. I talk to people. They say really goofy stuff that does not match the Word of God. Listen, the protection of God is exclusively connected to the path of righteousness, of the upright. Okay? In other words, number one, the promise of protection is given specifically to those who are walking in it, in the way of wisdom. So number two, the protection of wisdom cannot be separated from the practice of wisdom. So, God doesn't become our buckler just because we claim to be a Christian. So we have sometimes a lot of weird theology, and I think we do it on accident. We're trying to help people to understand something. But sometimes what we'll do is somebody will come and make a profession of faith. And we'll say, hey, now you're saved forever, right? Amen, you're saved forever. Yes, does the Bible teach saved forever? Absolutely it teaches that. But there has to be a first save before you save forever, right? And salvation doesn't come in the way of a prayer. It comes in the way of faith, right? It comes by faith. It doesn't come by saying something. It's not, again, I talk about this a lot. It's not mystical. I said these words. Did I say the right words? I can't tell you. I cannot tell you. If I said probably, if maybe I could tell you. I'm gonna guess. Probably, I would say probably 75 or better. 75% of the people or better, when I ask them about their salvation, they'll say something like this. I'm not sure I said the right words when I got saved. 75% or more and I ask about their salvation. Well, I did it. When did you tell me about it? Well, I did this, but I'm not sure if I said the right words. If you miss a pronoun, right, or an adjective or some other grammatical words, right, if you miss one of those, it doesn't count. Wouldn't that be weird? If that was the case, wouldn't it be really clear in the Bible? Say this, right? Like, we'd put it on the front cover. You know, before you even open up, say this, and that's it. Man, well, that'd be great. That's it. People, just say this, say this. I'd trick people into saying it. I would. Repeat after me. and you're like, if that was it, but it's not like that, is it? It's about belief. And so just because somebody says, they'll say, well, I just know God's watching over me. Well, because I'm a Christian, I know God's watching over me. That's not really how that works. So, yes, God's watching over you, but that's not always a good thing for you. he sees what we're doing, but listen, God doesn't become our buckler just because and our shield because we claim to be a Christian. It is that Him becoming our buckler and our protection, it is in the doing of wisdom. Okay? It's in the doing of it. We're going to find something here that's interesting in just a moment. See, the desire for protection without submission to the path of wisdom reveals a misunderstanding of how God works. So, God, why didn't you protect me? People do this thing. No, they'll do this thing. God, I thought you were going to, I thought, you know, all things work together for good. God, I thought you were going to protect me. God, why did you allow such and such to die? Why did you allow me to get sick? God, I thought you were going to protect me. So we expect that, or we desire that protection without submitting or responding to wisdom. I'm telling you, that's a misunderstanding of how God works. So number one, many people here is to say, expect God to guard their life while they ignore His direction. God, I'm going to do whatever I want, but I want you to protect me in it. It's like, God, I want to be stupid, knowing I'm going to be stupid, but I want you to make sure nothing bad happens to me. God said, here, I got a way to fix that. Quit being stupid. Stupid isn't a good... Some of y'all look at me like, I don't know if you should say that up there, Pastor. I don't, foolish. Let's use foolish. Foolish is the, old English word. Stupid is the modern thing. I don't know. Maybe that's not a nice word. I'm gonna try to quit saying that for a few minutes. But it's misunderstanding of how God works. That's not how He works. So we expect that, God, I can ignore you. I can do what I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it, and nobody can tell me what to do. But God, you owe me protection. You owe me something. We don't say it that way, of course, but we get this kind of concept. So number two, but here we see that God's protection is experienced within the path of obedience, not outside of it. Okay? It's in it. So we're going to see something really, really neat here, really interesting and neat. I think you will too. But what happens is the protection is in the path. When we do our own path, we don't find the same thing. And you know what a lot of people find themselves? On the wrong path. Can I call it the path of rejection? Y'all thought I was going to call it the stupid path, didn't you? No. It's going to be the path of rejection. The path of rejecting wisdom. So when we find ourselves here and like, God, I need you to help me now. You know what God says? Well, let me tell you. First thing. Get back on the path of wisdom. Walk uprightly. Because that's where I can protect you. Over here. But when I say can, it doesn't mean God can't. Matter of fact, oh, praise the Lord. He does protect us when we act foolish. He does. Amen. Aren't you glad for that? We'd all be dead. We'd all be dead. I'm thankful He does still. But what I'm saying here, and I think what the Scripture's saying here, but this is where there is that promise that He is our buckler. And that's the protection over here. We're in borrowed territory, right? And so we kind of find that. Okay, number two, Roman numeral two. Wisdom guards the direction of life before destruction ever comes. Okay? It guards the direction before destruction ever comes. Look at verse 8 now. He keepeth the what? Okay, everybody. Okay, He keepeth the path of judgment and preserveth the way of His saints. Okay, two things here. So, A, the Lord actively guards the path that the wise man walks. Okay, you're going to get excited about it in a minute, maybe. At first, I was looking at it and like, yeah, whatever, okay. But you look at this. Number one, God keeps the paths of judgment. Not merely the person walking in them. So here it is. It's here. I think it's here already. A, let me stick to this. I'm going to just go off and then I'm going to have to come back and repeat what I already said. A, you don't take that protection anywhere you decide to go. In other words, we don't just do whatever we are going to do and say that God's going to protect us in it. He protects the paths of judgment of which wisdom calls us to. So God says, I've got this path protected. This is it. This is a no Satan zone. I don't know. Anyway, you know what I'm saying? This is a safe zone. Safe place. We've got that. I don't know. Not like that. But this is the same. By the way, it doesn't mean there's never trouble in our life. Don't misunderstand that. Right. But it means God said, I've got you here. I've got you. Go here. You're going to be safe. You're going to be safely in my will. Doesn't mean there's no problem. You mean, if we're here, we'll never get sick? We'll never... No, come on. It means when I do get sick, I understand God. It means when trouble does come, I trust Him. Because this is... He said, listen, it doesn't follow me wherever I go. God isn't my buckler no matter what I do and wherever I go. That's it. God said, I'm there to... I'm in the paths. I keep the paths of the righteous. You see, I'm keeping that path for you. So you go with it, you stick to it. I mean, it's just so simple, really. God said, if you will just stay in the way that you're supposed to go, in the place that, as He says here, in the path, that He keepeth the path of judgment. So judgment is really that, hold on, before I don't think I have it written down. A lot of times I study, I can't put it all in here because your paper isn't long enough. So I add more. Okay, so judgment is really just, judgment here can sound like, it can sound like judgment. It doesn't mean that kind of judgment. It means like using your own judgment of wisdom, discernment, this kind of way. He said, listen, I'm keeping those paths. I've kept them, secured them in that sense. Okay, number two, wisdom works by securing direction, not just by responding to danger. Did you get that? Let me say it again. Think about it. Wisdom works by securing or keeping safe the direction, Not just by responding to danger. See, that's what we want to do. God, trouble's coming. Would you help me? Right? We pray for travel mercies. Right? After we're in the middle of travel and having trouble. Such and such call, they're in trouble, they need prayer. God says, I'm going to, what God does is He secures the path. He keeps the path. He doesn't wait for there to be danger. He does it ahead of time. B, the protection of wisdom is primarily preventative rather than reactive. Okay. Here's how that works. Okay. Protection of wisdom. Wisdom is, I'm going to make the right choices so I don't find myself in a heap of trouble. That's what wisdom does. Wisdom says, hey, the call of wisdom says, go this way, dummy. That's not stupid. That's a different word. Okay. Wisdom says, go this way. And when we respond, all right. Wisdom says, okay, keep going there. Okay. Wisdom, keep going. We're okay. See, he said, I'm going to keep that way. I'm going to guide you to the way. He's going to keep that way. So it's preventative. You know some of the things that that a kid that grows up in church, you know what they miss most in this world? Sin. They miss out on sin. Because they're not in it. Right? It's preventative. It keeps you from getting in sin and needing to repent and get that thing right and clean up your life and scars and all these kind of things. Okay, it's preventative rather than reactive. Number one, wisdom keeps a man or a woman from entering situations that would bring destruction unto his life. And then number two, the greatest work of wisdom often happens before trouble ever begins. So wisdom is working, it's calling, it's directing before any trouble even comes to us. When we're in a heap of trouble, can I just say this? It's a little late. God, would you get me out of this? I'm thankful. God will lift us up out of the miry clay and set my feet on a solid rock. Okay, God, don't misunderstand. This isn't like, okay, God says, if you're over there, you're on your own. That's not what he's saying here. He said, but this is the place where safety is. Stay in that place of safety, and you won't need to come in tragedy. Man, it's so much better coming to God and saying, God, I'm living how you want me to live. Now this thing has come. I'm trusting you, God. I'm trusting you to do what's next. So much better that than, I really blew it. I really did something bad. Sin. God, would you forgive me? Would you help me? I don't know what to do. I mean, that's a different place, isn't it? Two different worlds. Now, we both might have a little bit of trouble, but I'll tell you, when you're here and you're in that safe place, it's preventative. Man, it's so much sweeter. So much sweeter. And so, see, the Lord preserves the way of those who walk in wisdom over the course of their life. Okay, we're talking about somebody that walks in that over the course of their life. And this is what it says in verse 8, the second half. And preserveth the way of the saints. So the way talks about how they're walking, where they're not just their path, but their way. Can you imagine that you tread that path so often that that's your way? Can I tell you, that's what the upright do. You walk in that way so much, that's your path. Your way is the path of righteousness. Like, so here's, if an opportunity to sin comes up, and you're thinking, oh man, what am I going to do? You know what that already revealed about you? That's not your way. Okay? So when sin comes up, or an opportunity to choose something over God, it's either God, it's either me, or God, or somebody else over God, or something over God, or something like that. And when you get to that fork in the road, and you're sitting there thinking, oh man, this would be good, but that would be, yeah, I should do that. And you're sitting there halting between two positions. You've already proven that demonstrates that's not your way. Make sense to us tonight? So he said, listen, as you're walking in that way, what he says, what he's talking about here is what God does at the end of verse 8. He talks about, he preserveth the way of the saints. It's, listen, number one under that, this is not limited to a single moment, but describes a sustained direction. So number two, God is not simply delivering from isolated trouble, but maintaining a life that is walking in the right way. I want to tell you tonight with that, folks, that is such a sweet life. I didn't say it's a trouble-free life, but it is such a sweet life that's when it comes, decision-making is really where it's all at. Really is. Decision-making is where it all comes down to. It's like something comes up. What am I going to do? You know, some people have to choose every Sunday whether they're going to come to church. No, seriously. Some people, every Sunday, it's not settled already. Every Sunday becomes a new decision-making process. Am I going to come to church? Because, you know, sometimes you come to church and you're like, that wasn't worth it. Now, it's true. That's true. Sometimes it's just, sometimes you don't feel good. Sometimes the pastor lays an egg. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes it's just like that. And you're like, man, you know, this is, you know, and you're like, but if you wait each week, I'm not saying we here on Wednesday, but if it's something that we have to wait to decide, what am I going to do? We've got to make a new decision every Sunday. That is tiring. Tiring. Because here's what happens. No matter what, if you haven't already made the decision, it hurts. Decisions hurt. They do. Because in this sense, if you say, oh, man, I'd rather go do this with my family, or I'd rather go do this for myself, or I'd rather, whatever, it's going to make me money, whatever it is, if we say no to that, it kind of hurts. And the people that we're saying no, it hurts too. And so, if I say no to them and say yes to God, it hurts. And then I go, and I'm kind of a little bit disappointed that I chose God. That's what happens. So, but if I go, you know, if I go the other way, if I say, no, I'm going to choose this, we're like, yeah, I'm choose this. It makes them happy. And we you know what we have to do? We have to almost do like a drug in a kind of way. We have to find a way to pretend like I'm okay with it. No, I made the right. No, it's not, I don't care. Yeah, nobody can tell me what to do. God doesn't care if we're in church all the time. We start making all these excuses. It hurts every time. No matter which way we go, it hurts every time. This is why making a decision at the beginning, making at some point say, this is what I'm doing. I'm going to be what God wants me to be. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to be where He wants me to be. I'm just going to make that decision. It's settled. So every time it comes up, hey, can you do this? Nah. I don't do that. Well, why don't, no, I don't do that. The decision's already made. Does that make sense to you? The decision, hey, can you stop over at this? No, I don't go to those places. Well, come on, you can go. Yeah, you can go. There's nobody. No, I don't. It's already done. I don't have to make, it's not even a challenge. It's done. Well, hey, can you do this? We're having a birthday party on this time where church is. No, I don't do that on, well, this is, you know, it's for your mom. I'm definitely not going. No, but kidding, Mom. But or if it's some kind of thing, you're like, no, I don't do that on those nights because I'm with God. Well, can't you do it once? I've had this. Can't you do? No, I don't. Because you know why? The decision's already made. It's done. This is what he's talking about. The way, and so it's the way that's set there. Number three, the protection of wisdom is seen more in what it prevents than in what it rescues from. Okay, I want you to understand, protection prevents more than what it protects us from. A, people often focus on the times God brings someone out of trouble. But B, the emphasis here is that wisdom often helps a man from what would have destroyed him. Okay, D, we got to get moving. Wisdom develops discernment for every path of life. Verse 9. Then shalt thou, what's that word? Understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. So, number one, the development of discernment is the result of walking in the paths of wisdom over time. No. How do we develop discernment? Walking in it. You don't read about it. You don't learn discernment by reading about it. You just don't. Well, I've studied the Bible. I know. No. No, when we're talking about wisdom and how wisdom isn't just truth. Wisdom is living out truth. You don't learn discernment by reading about it. It comes over time. Number two, the word then, as it says there in verse 9, then shalt thou understand, shows that understanding follows the pursuit and practice of wisdom. Then, after we've followed that way, then. Number three, discernment is not immediate, but developed through obedience. Something we discern by doing it, okay? And the more we do it, the more we understand. Now, I don't mean we understand, oh, I understand everything about God. No, it means we understand His way. So here's the conclusion. Wisdom is not simply something that informs the mind, but something that guards the life. It places a believer under God's protection. It secures the direction of his path, and it develops discernment within him. Now, here's the final thing here. The promise of this passage is not that God protects every life regardless of its direction, right? It's not the promise. The promise is that God protects the one who walks in his wisdom. So the question is, are you walking in the path that wisdom's protection is found in? The protection of wisdom is not found in moments of crisis, but in the path that keeps you from them. And this is really what we find here tonight. It's not rescue. It's prevention. You ever want to be rescued? I don't. I don't want to need rescue. I don't want to need rescue. I want my car to work. I don't want the battery to go dead. I don't want a tire to go flat. I don't want the brakes to go out. I want it to always work. I want to get in, start it, and go. I don't want to need to call somebody to come rescue me. Right? So, you know, what I do is you maintain your vehicle or something like that. So this is really what the path of wisdom is about. I'm just going to live my life as it is and, God will take care of me. Yeah, but it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt more than you want. Prevent it. Father, I do pray that you'd help us tonight to grab this truth of what wisdom does for us. What a wonderful, wonderful thing it is to realize, Father, that you are our buckler. You're not even just our shield, Lord. You're our buckler that's actively involved in our defense. And Lord, I'm so thankful that you go before us. Lord, you're at that path of righteousness before we ever get to it. Lord, what a thrill that is to know and realize tonight. Lord, pray that you'd help us as we really digest this truth and let it affect our lives. Well, thank you for it now in Jesus' name.